Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Let's read this out loud together, all right? Acts chapter 20, verse 24, let's read. Let's see if we can get up there first. Sorry about that. There we go. All right. Yep, I can't read it from here, but you guys can get it, right? All right, let's read this out loud together. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Everyone say grace.
Grace.
Listen, the good news of grace. The good news of grace. You know, we carry good news. How many of you know people want to hear good news? You know, I mean, if I called you on the phone and left a message, and I said, hey, call me right back, man, I got some good news. You're going to call me back sooner than if I just said, hey, call me back when you can. Right? Even with texting, right? You ever get a text and someone says, hey, you know, call me as soon as you can? You know, and you'll say, oh, you know, all right, when I'm done mowing the lawn. But if someone says, man, call me as soon as you can, I got some good news. I'm going to say, the lawn can wait. Right? How many know it's true? And how many of you know that the world needs good news? Yeah, and so listen, we get to carry around with us good news. Come on, this is good news. We get to carry around with us the good news of grace. And listen, grace is what will build you up. Yeah? Listen, grace will meet you around the corner when you've completely blown it and embrace you. Grace embraces your mistakes. Yeah. Listen, grace will meet you at the bottom of a pit when you're stuck in your muddy thoughts. How many of you had muddy thoughts before? Grace will meet you down there when you're stuck in your muddy thoughts and build you up and pick you up and dust you off and get you down the road another mile. Hey, man, it's the good news of grace. So listen, this morning, I want to talk to you about when humility meets grace. When humility meets grace. Listen, when my humble response to the measure of God's grace that's been poured out to me becomes the platform from which I live, the standard upon which I live, man, I will serve the Lord and I'll serve anybody I meet, wherever they're at, whatever they've been through, not because I have to, but because I get to. Yeah. Everyone say when humility meets grace. Listen, how many of you had a situation before where you met God's grace? Come on, well, maybe you made a mistake, maybe you said something wrong, maybe you did something wrong, and you know what happens when you blow it, right? I mean, you feel it. And the Bible says that the Lord sent the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin. Everyone say conviction. Listen, conviction, when you blow it, conviction will draw you in, will embrace you, and give you hope. Everyone say condemnation. Yeah, condemnation will push you away and make you feel that you can't go on. You blew it. It's over for you. And the Bible says that God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world of sin, but to convict the world of sin. Right? So the Holy Spirit is sent to convict us. And listen, we know that when we blow it, man, that's kind of what Jim was talking about. There is a fleshly side that wants to condemn you, and then there's the spirit side that says, listen, we can get down the road another mile. Amen? So listen, when my humble response is to the grace of God that I've received becomes the platform and the standard by which I live, I'll meet you wherever you're at, whatever you've gone through, no matter how bad you've blown it, I'm going to meet you at the low point and build you up because that's what grace does. Amen. So listen, when humility meets grace, servant leaders are born. Everyone say servant leader. Yeah, when humility meets grace, servant leaders are born. Think about Jesus. I mean, Jesus was the King of Kings. Right? The King of all kings, the Son of God, the King of kings. You know, he could have been ushered in to this earth with horses and chariots and trumpets and a royal court. But he was born in a humble manger. Yeah, are you hearing it? The Bible says that Jesus made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a bondservant, and he came in the likeness of men. And then it goes on to say that being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. All right, so check this out. The humility of Jesus met the grace of God on the cross. Are you hearing this? How many know the cross is a cross of grace? So Jesus humbled himself and made himself obedient to the point of death. So the humility of Jesus met the grace of God on the cross. And when that interaction happened, we got set free. Come on, are you hearing that? We got set free from the guilt, the condemnation, the shame, and the penalty of sin. And when Jesus resurrected from the grave, this is the gospel message. He died on the cross. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again. When Jesus rose again after that grace and humility met, when he rose from the grave, the Holy Spirit was sent to give us the power over sin. Yeah? So that now we have help from the Holy Spirit to help us not only walk free from sin, but when we blow it, we have the Holy Spirit reaffirming us that you can call on grace. You can call on grace. You can confess your sins and have all your sins forgiven. You can be cleansed from all unrighteousness, and you don't have to carry the guilt and the shame and the condemnation and feelings of failure, not for a minute. Amen? Everyone say, when humility meets grace. Jesus later said about himself, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many, right? Yeah. Servanthood leadership. You know, Jesus was a servant leader, a humble servant leader, and he proved that when washing the disciples' feet. You remember that? I mean, washing people's feet in that era when there's dusty dirt roads and open-toed sandals, washing someone's feet is one of the most humble acts of service anybody could do. Anything they could do to offer this humble service to somebody. And so when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, you know, he was not under them, right? He was a servant leader. Jesus, when washing the disciples' feet, was basically saying this, saying, listen, I'm over you. I am the Son of God, right? I'm the Messiah. I'm the Son of God. You're not over me. I'm over you, but I'm going to bow down, and I'm going to serve you at your lowest point. I'm going to wash your feet. And then Jesus said to them, I did this as an example to show you that you might follow that. All right, so when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, one thing he did is he made it absolutely clear that there's no room for pride in godly leadership. Yeah? When humility meets grace. So when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, basically what he was saying, man, I did this as an example for you to follow. Basically what he's saying, listen, because I washed your feet, you should never, ever refuse to serve someone when they're at their lowest point in life. Yeah, listen, what is the Lord teaching us? He's teaching us how to be witnesses in the world we live in. He's teaching us and giving us strategy on how to win the lost, how to share the gospel. And there's an anointing of influence on your life right now. The Holy Spirit has released an anointing on your life, and it's an anointing of influence so that people are going to hear what you have to say. And our heart attitude and our posture, we need to make sure it's like Jesus, right? Need to make sure it's like Jesus. You know, I shared with you this before, but how many of you seen like maybe tomatoes or fruit on so heavy on a branch that the branch is like almost bowing down? You know what I'm talking about? Well, The same thing is with us. The people who are the most fruitful branches for Jesus are those who will bow down, bend down, and serve people at their lowest level. Yes. Amen? Yes. Come on, say servanthood relationship. Servant. Yeah, say servanthood leader. Servant. Yeah, how many know the Apostle Paul was a humble servant leader? I mean, the Apostle Paul, one of the most influential leaders in the New Testament, man, probably the most influential person leading people to Christ, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the most influential apostle said this of himself. He says, I am the least of the apostles. He says, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And then he says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Yeah. So listen. You know, Paul, before he became Paul, his name was Saul, he was pretty haughty. He was highly educated, very educated, and he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And Paul literally got knocked off his high horse on the way to Damascus. Yeah, he was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians, put chains on them, and bring them back so that they would be martyred. And listen, it was at that place where God's grace met him. At that low place was where God's grace met him. And God's grace humbled Paul. Now listen, when Paul's humility met the grace of God at that low point, a servant leader was born. Come on, let me say that again. When Paul's humility, God's humility, God's grace humbled Paul. Listen, God's grace will humble you. Listen, let me say this so that you know. God's grace will not humiliate you. God's grace will humble you. God's grace will embrace you. So here's Paul wanting to arrest Christians. God's grace comes, knocks him off of his high horse, off of his proud horse. And God's grace humbled him. And when Paul's humility met the grace of God at that low point, man, a servant leader was born. And Paul became one of the most influential leaders in all of the New Testament. Yeah. He wrote most of the New Testament. This guy that was arresting Christians wrote Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and others say that he wrote the book of Hebrews. He was the most influential leader of his time. And we have a lot we can learn from him. So today we want to hear from the Apostle Paul. Amen? Listen, we have a lot to learn from Paul because we are after being the most effective ministers that we can be. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a minister. Minister means servant. Yeah, ministry means servant. And we want you to see yourself as a minister. That's who you are. You have the message of grace. You have good news that you're carrying around with you. The Lord says, man, I want you to share it, right? So he's given a strategy on how to do that, amen? So today we're going to be hearing from the Apostle Paul, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 20. And we're going to end up here in Acts chapter 17 in just a little bit. But Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 16, it really takes us on a missions trip with the Apostle Paul. And I'm not going to read through all that, but I wanted to share kind of a missions trip experience, if you will, so that you can see how Paul's life was completely committed to bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. So the Apostle Paul, he travels through Macedonia, and he meets, you know, quite a few people there, and he's sharing the good news of the gospel with them. Then he makes his way over to Greece. He spends 3 months in Greece, and he's ministering to them. And then he was going to sail over to Syria, but he found out that the Jews were plotting to kill him. So he turned back. He traveled back through Macedonia, and then him and his team sailed to Philippi. And then from Philippi, they sailed to Troas, and that was a 5-day sailing journey on the sea. And when Paul got to Troas, you know, he was not going to stay there very long. He was ministering to a group of people in this upper room, and he was going to be leaving early in the morning, so he preached all night. All night. Candles were in the room, probably a little warm in that heat. in that environment. And so there was this young man by the name of Eutychus who was sitting in the window. And here's Paul preaching all night. Midnight rolls around, and this young man, Eutychus, falls into a deep sleep. And this man, Eutychus, while Paul was preaching, fell 3 stories down out of that window to his death. That'll interrupt a sermon. So the Apostle Paul goes down, walks down those 3 stories, and he threw himself on this young man and brought him back to life, raised him from the dead, and presented him alive. Come on. And then he started preaching again until dawn. He had a lot to share. He had a lot to share. And then from Troas the next day, he traveled by foot to Assos, where he met his companions. And then from Assos, he boarded another ship to Mytilene. They stayed there for 1 or 2 days, and then they set sail onto Chios. The next day, they crossed over to Samos. I'm probably not pronouncing these names right, but you get the hint. He crossed over to Samos, and he passed Ephesus. He was on his way to Miletus, but he passed Ephesus. He didn't stop in Ephesus because he was in a hurry trying to get to Jerusalem on time for the Pentecost, for Pentecost Sunday. So he was trying to get there, so he passed Ephesus, and he came to Miletus. And this brings us to Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. It says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. All right, so Paul called for the pastors and elders of the church of Ephesus, knowing that he was going to be imprisoned. It's been prophesied over him in his journeys that when he gets to Jerusalem, there's trouble waiting for him there. So he's meeting with the elders of Ephesus, knowing, man, I'm going to Jerusalem, knowing that he's going to be imprisoned, knowing that he's never going to see them again. So what we have in Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 38, is Paul's farewell address to the church that he planted that he knows, I'll never see you again. These are his final words, and many scholars say that that portion of Scripture in Acts chapter 20, 18 through 38, is the richest portion of Scripture in the New Testament that gives us instruction on service and ministry. We're not going to get through all that today, but how many of you know we're in ministry school? Yeah, that's why we're here. We're here. And so in Acts chapter 20, verse 18, it says, and when they, the elders of Ephesus, had come to him, they had come to Paul, Paul said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you. So Paul said, from the first day I arrived, Paul says, from the first day I came into your city, from the first day I arrived, you knew what kind of man I was. Come on, everyone say, from the first day. Listen, we're talking about sharing our faith. Amen? Everybody gets that, right? I mean, we're here and you're being equipped so that you can go out and share your faith. And so this is what we're learning. So the Lord is giving us strategies. He's giving us instructions and strategies on how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Everyone say, from the first day. Listen, this is what the Lord is saying to us in this hour. He's saying, when you meet somebody for the very first time, make them aware you're a Christian right away. Listen, even if you're going to go out your friends, let them know what your values are right away. I remember back when I was in my mid to late 20s and early 30s while Gail and I were building the church or trying to build the church. You know, we planted it. Well, I got my roofing license out in Michigan. And so I was roofing houses from my late 20s into my early 30s. And I remember that I would let people know right away that I was a Christian. I would let them know right away where I stood and who I stood for. All right, now remember last week I shared with you, don't be remembered by what you stand against. Right? Be remembered about who you stand for. Amen? I mean, it just seems better. At the end of my life, I don't want people saying, Pastor Vic stood against this and he stood against that. Man, I want them to say, Vic stood for Jesus. That's what I remember. He was always encouraging and leading people to Christ. Always encouraging them to lean into the Lord. Amen? So listen, when we're talking about sharing our faith and we're talking about from the first day, Everyone say, from the first day. Listen, when you let people know where you stand from the first day, it will weaken the temptation for you to try to fill in or fit in. Yeah, it will. It will. I learned earlier on that if I didn't let people know where I was and who I was standing for and what my values are from the first time I met them, I learned that they would invite me to participate in things that I didn't want anything to do with. So when you let people know where you stand and who you're standing for, it'll weaken the temptation for you to feel like I gotta fit in. And listen, this doesn't mean you're rude. It doesn't mean that you're self-righteous. Amen. Listen, when humility meets grace, you will not be self-righteous. Amen. So I wasn't being rude. I wasn't acting like I was holier than thou. I just let him know, listen, I don't cuss, I don't drink, and I won't smoke your dope. You know, that's it. But listen, it didn't mean that when they were passing the joint that I was going, oh, I can't believe it. I wasn't standing against any of that. I just said, no, no thanks. No thank you. No thank you. Whatever they would ask me to do or offer to be do, I didn't stand against it. Like, oh, I'm a Christian. No, it wasn't like that. I just said, no thank you. And listen, sometimes you get a contact high. Let me tell you how you know. Because at 10 o'clock break, you want some Doritos. Everybody in here is laughing because you know. Listen, your pastor wasn't born a Christian. All right, so listen. So we're not rude. Listen, when humility meets grace, you're not rude. You're not self-righteous. You're not holier than thou. Listen, when I respond to the grace, when I humbly respond to the grace that God has met me with when I was in the pit, when I was blowing it, when I respond with humility to that grace, oh, I can meet with anybody and say, man, I get you. Because I've experienced the grace of God. Listen, let me tell you what will destroy your witness, pride. Yeah, when you forget where God has met you with grace, yeah, you'll start thinking you're better. And listen, let me tell you this too, okay? You will face resistance, all right? When you make a stand for Jesus and you, remember, a stand for Jesus, not against what they're doing. When you make a stand for Jesus, you'll face some resistance. Even though you're not doing it, they'll think you're judging them. Come on, it happens. Listen, you should expect it. But that's not your battle. You'll face resistance. They'll think that you think you're better than them. Come on, are you hearing me? They'll think that. And so when that would happen, you know, I would just, in all humility, just say, look, man, I'm not judging you at all, but I've been bound and I've been free, and I'm just telling you from personal experience, freedom is better for me. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so you're not judging, you're just having conversation. And then you just let him know. You just let him know. Listen, man, I would just continue the conversation that, man, God's grace reached down into my life and rescued me when my life was this close to spinning out of control. Jesus Christ really saved my life. And I just haven't turned back. I'm not judging you. I just know it worked for me. And I know he rescued me. Yeah, come on. Listen, what are we doing? When humility meets grace, something happens. Because listen, your response to the grace of God on your life will humbly approach somebody that isn't where they need to be or you think they need to be, but you're not putting any expectation on them. You're just meeting them where they're at. And you're sharing, listen, you are carrying with you good news. Keep it good. Keep it good. Amen? Everyone say, from the first day. Yeah, from the first day, tell them about the good news of God's grace. Listen, I want to tell you, young people, when you're going to get a job, oh, I would use it like that all the time, at a job interview. I just tell them, listen, you know, what can you offer the company? Well, I can tell you this. I won't steal from you. I won't cuss. I won't drink. I won't be late. I won't smoke dope. You can count on me because I'm a Christian. From the first day, you just lay it down. Let me tell you what will happen. You know, they'll hire you because of those ethics. But when you go to work with the crew that didn't hear that, oh, they'll cuss. They'll cuss more when they find out you're a Christian. They will. They'll try to get under skin. Come on, how many know this is true? And that's okay. That's okay. We're Christians, and I have good news. Listen, you're attacking me cannot take away the good news I have. It's my good news. Amen? It's good news. It's good news that we carry. Amen? And so you'll catch some resistance. So Paul told the elders at Ephesus, you know what kind of man I was from the first day I met you. That's a good thing. Amen. And then in verse 19, he says this, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Paul said, I have served the Lord with all humility. I have served the Lord with all humility. Listen, humility is a key to our Christian witness. It's key. Yeah. To serve the Lord with all humility means to esteem others higher than yourself. Amen. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. This is the Apostle Paul. We're still hearing from him. He says, don't be selfish and don't try to impress others. Listen, don't try to impress others how holy you are. Don't try to impress others of how much you know the word. Listen, you know that. But the Lord is saying, listen, I need you to be good stewards with the information you have. Yeah. Amen. We need to read the room. You need to read who am I speaking to and where are they at? Because listen, if they're under guilt, condemnation, and shame, man, you got to just find the handle of the door where you can begin to unlock some things. Yes. Come on, are you hearing this? Amen. Why? Because our goal is to reach people and to build them up and to help them. Yeah, I was working as a roofer and doing all these things around construction people. Man, it came a time after a little while, they'd cuss. Oh, sorry. I didn't even ask for that. You know, they would start telling them, don't cuss around the preacher. They started calling me preacher, didn't they, Gail? I was known as the preacher on the job sites. Oh, here comes the preacher. You know, and that's okay. Listen, because what happened is that after a while, the temptation to get involved in things, man, and listen, they would still invite me to their parties. One group, man, they built a whole barn. You know, it was a garage where they would watch football, a whole full bar, man. It was like, it was football season. They were ready. And they would invite me to go there, you know, and they'd drink and I'd hang out. You know, I wouldn't smoke their dope or drink their beer or drink their booze. But I'd eat their beans. <You know? laughs> And so listen, let me tell you what happened. And listen, you got to be careful. You got to make sure that you're going to be able to resist things in that type of atmosphere without being holier than thou, without being self-righteous, without being judgmental. You say, oh, no thanks, man. I brought my water or something. And you can still have fun. Sinners are fun. They are. I'm not saying I'm not fun. Maybe I'm saying I am fun, you know, hey, you know. When humility meets grace. I'm kidding. But we all blow it, right? We all blow it. And so Paul said, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't try to impress them. You know, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others. So Paul says, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Let me tell you what this doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that I think of others as better than myself, making me less than. Oh, you're a much better singer than me. You know? Oh, you're a lot better than I am at this. You're a lot better looking. You're a lot better speaker. Listen, we're not comparing ourselves. And we're not saying, listen, you are better than me, making ourselves less than. Listen, everyone say, don't compare.
Don't compare.
Listen, don't compare yourself to somebody that is more talented appearingly than you, and don't compare yourself to somebody who doesn't have it together. Listen, the rule is to think of others as better than yourself. So listen, serving the Lord with all humility means this. It means that whoever I meet, wherever I go, I'm not looking for their fault. Do you understand? I'm looking for their fruit. Listen, serving the Lord with all humility means that I am living from this platform of life where I've responded to the grace of God in humility. And so now, wherever I go, I'm not meeting people and looking for what's wrong with them. I'm looking for what's right. Yes. Amen? I'm not looking for the bad in people. I'm looking for the good. Man, there's good here. Yeah. Amen? And so serving the Lord with all humility, it means that I'm not looking for what's your problem? What is your problem? No, I'm looking for how can I unlock your potential? I know there's something in there. Come on, do you see the difference? Listen, when humility meets grace, that's how you live. That's how you live, amen? Serving with humility, our whole humility, even when I'm serving you, listen, it means that I'm seeking out the best in you. It means that I recognize no matter where you're at on the day I meet you, no matter where you're at years after we've walked together, no matter where you're at, whether you're a stranger or a friend of many years, no matter where you're at, I realize you have something to bring to the table. Yes. That you have value. Amen?
Amen?
Come on, are you catching this?
Yes.
How many of you say, Pastor Vic, I want to live this way?
Amen.
It's very freeing. Amen. Look at Genesis chapter 1, the verse part of 26, 26a. God said, let us. Who's that? Listen, this is the Trinity.
Yes.
This is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity is having a discussion in heaven, and this is what they say. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So listen, do you realize that you are created in the image of God? Listen, you are created in his likeness, church. That's who you are. And so anybody I meet, I don't care if, it doesn't matter what their first impression might be on me and what I see with my natural eyes. I know that they are created in God's image.
Yeah.
That they're created in his likeness. That there's a treasure inside of them. There's a treasure inside of them, and there's something of great value. And listen, one of my greatest joys in ministry and one of my greatest joys in life, something that I've given most of my adult life to, is to awaken people to who they are in Christ. Oh, there's nothing like it, church. I love meeting people and finding out, looking for things inside them, like there's a hidden treasure inside there. That I'm looking for it. I'm looking for the good. I'm looking for, man, there's a hidden treasure in there. And I love more than anything is to unlock their potential. Oh, it gives me the greatest joy. It's what I've given my life to. Yeah. So I don't go around looking for their bad. I don't care how bad they are. There's good in them. And if we can start tapping into that good and we can start showing, if we can awaken them to who they are created to be in Christ, come on. Things explode. Amen. Listen to me now. To serve the Lord with all humility means that we create a safe environment for people to be real. Yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, experience something real. Yeah. Now tell them, LWC is a real place. Tell them, it's a safe place to be real. Yeah, that's true, isn't it? So serving the Lord with all humility not only means do I create a safe environment for people to be real, but listen to this, we create a safe environment for people to fail. Yeah. It doesn't mean that that we are enabling bad behavior. But listen, we're creating a safe place for people to be vulnerable. Come on, we need to hear this, church, because this is what the Lord's doing here. He says, I need you to create a safe environment, not only for people to be real, but I need you to create a safe environment for people to fail. Listen, let me tell you this. When we can all be honest with our issues, listen, when we can all be honest with our issues, when we can all be vulnerable with our issues in front of one another, in a safe place, knowing that I won't be rejected, I won't be replaced, and I won't be removed. Know what that does? It makes us grow in grace. Calling you, I hope you're here in this church. Yeah. Everyone say, grow in grace. Listen, the Lord's saying, be a safe person. With whoever you meet, be a safe person. Be a trustworthy person. And with whoever you meet, I'm telling you, the Lord's telling you how to win souls. He's telling you how to win people to him. And he's saying, be a safe person. Be a trustworthy person. And he's saying, create a safe environment for people to be real and vulnerable. And when you do that, we all grow in grace. How many of you know that's true? Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Look what the Apostle Paul says. He says, the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. What does this mean? The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. This means that if you've made a lot of mistakes, this means that if you've been walking with the Lord for a while and then you fall away and you run away from the Lord, this means that if that happens and then one day you return to the Lord, it means that you're not disqualified. That's what it means. Listen, the Lord has this for somebody. You have a calling and you have gifts inside of you that the Lord wants to unlock, redeem, and restore. The Lord's saying to somebody, you are not disqualified. No matter how badly you think you've blown it. I mean, if you've blown it, if you've walked away from the Lord, man, you may have wasted a little bit of time and circumstances may have changed. But I'm telling you, you have a calling on your life. And you have gifts inside of you to offer somebody. Amen. And listen, I'm calling them out this morning. I'm calling them out this morning. You're called in the ministry, church. Yeah, go ahead. Give the Lord some praise for that. Yeah, listen to me. The Lord is unlocking your potential this morning right now. He's unlocking it. Yeah. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Listen, God is such a good God. His wonderful grace runs so deep. Yeah, Paul said this, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Yeah, so the Lord is saying, man, you can't even be a good enough sinner to get the gifts and callings taken away from you. Just return to me. And listen, when your humility meets his grace, things get unlocked in your life. And you can move down the road walking in the potential that you have because you're awakened to the reality of who God created you to be. Come on, this is what we get to share with people. Come on, how many are getting anything out of this today? Come on, shout this out. Say, there's hope for me.
There's hope for me.
Yeah. There's hope. Come on, are you here in this church? Why are we talking about this, church? Why are we taking the time to talk about these things? Now, listen to me. Because having the right heart attitude is going to be detrimental to the health, to the life, and to the future of LWC. Having the right heart attitude is going to be detrimental to the longevity of this ministry. And listen, I want to tell you, every single one of you has a part to play in that. Every one of us do. Every one of us has a part to play in making sure that, man, I have a healthy attitude. I have a healthy heart attitude. Every single one of us have a part to play in maintaining this healthy culture. Isn't that right? Listen, I'm telling you. Listen, everyone say together. So listen, together, not me, together, we have established a very healthy culture here at LWC. How many of you can recognize that? Yeah, together we've done that. Yeah, so every single one of us has a part to play in maintaining that healthy culture. So I have a part in maintaining a healthy heart attitude. You have a part to play in maintaining your healthy heart attitude, especially when it comes to serving one another and serving others. Listen, this is why it's so important that we choose not to be offended. Oh, man, if you can make it a rule in your heart that I refuse to be offended. Yeah. If we want to maintain this healthy culture, we have to refuse to be offended at anybody, outside the church or inside the church. We have to just, when something gets at us and gets under our skin and starts poking at us, man, I have to just, in my mind, not out loud, I just have to tell myself, I am refusing to be offended. I'm not going to be offended. Listen, we need to be quick to repent. That's humility. We need to be quick to forgive. That's grace. Come on, you hearing me? Listen, when my humility meets your grace, listen, when my humble repentance meets your forgiving grace, and when your humble repentance meets my forgiving grace, when humility meets grace, we will be an unstoppable force.
Hallelujah.
Come on, are you here in this church? Are you getting anything out of this? It's almost like the Lord is telling us, listen, this is how I want my family to be. Yeah. You know, we're not really trying to build a large church. But I'm going to tell you, when we get these foundational things right, we won't be able to keep people out of here. We got to get it right in-house. Amen. And so each of us has our own area where we need to maintain a healthy heart attitude. And if you're carrying offense right now, or jealousy, or envy, if there's anything inside, listen, this is a safe place for you to be vulnerable in those areas. You don't have to hide, you don't have to pretend, you don't have to be ashamed, you're not going to be removed or rejected, but we have to look inside. I've been going to the Lord and saying, Lord, why is this poking at me? I might, you know, see something on Facebook, or read something or run into somebody. And there's something inside that I know that, man, this, why is this robbing me of my peace? Why is this irritating me? So I've been going to the Lord and I'm going to the Lord and I'm saying, Lord, and a lot of times it happens on my walks or early in the morning, 2, 3 in the morning. And I'm saying, Lord, why is this poking at me? Because it's not their problem. They have no idea I'm staying awake over this. And if I have offense, if I'm carrying offense about anything, or this low self-esteem that nobody likes me, nobody accept. Listen, you are created in the image of God. You don't have to compare yourself to anybody. The Lord's saying, look inside and bring those issues that are poking at you to me, and let my grace meet you in that point of humility, and I'll bring healing to you. Yeah, come on, are you hearing this? It frees you up. And it frees everybody else around you up. Amen? Serving one another with humility and grace, listen, will keep LWC in a drama-free zone. Come on. Listen. Come on. Will you high-five 3 or 4 people and say, we're drama-free? Go ahead and tell them. Come on, high-five somebody. We're drama-free. Come on, we're drama-free. Yeah, move around. We're drama-free. Declare it. Yeah. We're drama-free. Okay, now look at now, look at now. Now look somebody right in the eyes. Look at them right in the eyes. And look at them like this and say, let's keep it that way. Yeah. Yeah, come on. Come on, man. This is the family of God. This is the kingdom of God. And we're just all God's children learning how to get along. So the Lord, our Heavenly Father, looks down on this family and says, ooh, that's a good family right there. Those are good kids. Getting along, forgiving each other, sharing. Yeah, look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Look at this. Paul's still speaking. He says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty," that's freedom, "only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." The Lord would say, don't use the freedom here at LWC for your own selfish gain. He says, "But through love," everyone say, "through love."
Love.
He says, "But through love, serve one another." Through love, serve one another. Everyone say, "Through love."
Love.
Yeah. Well, if we're to, through love, serve one another, well, what is love? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, love is patience. So the Lord is saying, through patience, serve one another. Be patient with one another. Be patient with me as I fumble my way through life. Yeah? He says, through love, serve one another. He says, love is patient and love is kind. Listen, through kindness, serve one another. Be patient and kind with one another. Church, come on. It makes your life so free. He says, love is not jealous. It's not boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. Oh, here's a big one. It's not irritable. Yeah, serve one another with love. Love's not irritable. Listen to this one. And it keeps no record of wrongs. What does that mean? It forgives quickly. Serve one another with a love that is quick to forgive, full of grace. When humility meets grace. Come on, church. Verse 6, love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. We don't give up on each other here. Listen, we stop the flight mentality. Just going to go somewhere else. Listen, that's not the kingdom of God. That's not what God wants. How would you like your kids to run away from you? Or run away from their brother or sister because they got in a hassle, when you know darn well, if we just sit down and talk about this and we work this thing out, we're going to be united. And when we're united, the Lord says, I command my blessing where unity is. Come on, are you here in this church? Listen, these are important kingdom principles, and I'm telling you, the Lord is building an end time church. A church that looks different than how the world operates. And it doesn't mean we're perfect. It just means we got to walk with each other through our imperfections, recognizing if my humility and grace meet, if we meet on that level, man, we're going to be an unstoppable force. Yes. Amen. And listen, if you harbor unforgiveness in your heart towards anybody, that hinders your walk with the Lord, not theirs. Lord says, forgive one another as I have forgiven you. And then that is, you know, that's in the Lord's Prayer. And then he doubles back on that. You know, he doubles back with that message a little later on after that Lord's Prayer. And he says, man, that you will be forgiven to the measure that you forgive others. If you don't forgive others, your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. Yeah, so listen, this is not only to build a healthy family, but it's to get you free too. We have to deal with the bitterness issues, the unforgiveness issues. And listen, man, we will walk, my wife and I will walk you through whatever that is. Maybe someone touched you wrong as a kid. You know, doesn't mean you have to trust. But man, if there's a scar in there that's so deep and so, you're still bleeding out in so many ways, whatever it might be, maybe, you know, I don't know, you got fired or someone left you. Man, we want to be able to deal with those things. And Gail and I, we are absolutely available to get into those areas where you're vulnerable and help you get free. Amen? It's very helpful, and it's a safe place for that. And listen, it's not only through us. You guys have each other. Listen, I trust every single one of you to do the right thing. I'm so proud of this church. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. We together built this culture. And I'm proud of you. You're here for the right reason. You're not here to be entertained. You're not here for some production and light show. Man, you're here because you want to learn how to live, you want to hear the word of God, and you want to love each other, and you want to reach a world that needs Jesus. Amen? It says love never gives up, never loses faith. Yeah, means that I always believe the best for you. It's always hopeful. There's always hope for you, right? That's our language. Endures through every circumstance. Come on. Yeah. Serve one another through love, right? So the Lord's teaching us how to serve Him in all humility. And we serve the Lord in all humility by serving one another. Let me give you one more verse from Jesus. And then we'll get you out of here. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. Jesus called them together. And He said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them." So this is what the world looks like. They're flaunting their authority. I'm the boss. You do what I say. Even parents. Because I said so. Oh, it's real quiet. Yeah. They flaunt their authority. And Jesus said this, verse 26, "But among you, it's going to be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant." Come on, everyone say servant leadership. Yeah, the washing of the disciples' feet. I'm over you, but I'm going to bow down. I'm going to serve you at your lowest point. Amen? I'm going to serve you at the lowest point of your life. So we don't use our authority. We don't use our experience. We don't use our titles. We don't use how many years we've been doing a certain thing to flaunt that or manipulate anybody. No, we'll use those gifts to say, "Listen, man, this is what I've done before. Maybe this will help," right? Maybe this is how we build them up. We meet them there and build them up. Verse 27, He says, "Whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave." Verse 28, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give His life as a ransom for many." Amen. Hey, can we get a little music? Just a little bit of music. It's not going to be long. Everyone say, "Godly leaders are servants." Yeah, now turn to somebody and say, "Be a servant leader. Be a servant leader." You guys caught the revelation of when humility meets grace?
Yes.
Because I can go another hour. Yeah, we got it, Vic. We got it. You caught it, right? You got it? You caught that? Yeah, just respond in humility to the grace that God's poured out on your life. Listen, this is Thanksgiving week. Amen. Let's make this a pivotal week, okay? Let's make this a pivotal week where humility meets grace today, this week, all week. In fact, let's make it the whole holiday season where this is a focus. All right, we're going to make it a pivotal holiday season where humility meets grace. You carry with you the good news of God's grace. Amen? So listen, let your humility meet your loved ones with grace this holiday season. You know, you got family coming in from out of town. Who knows what your family structure looks like? But the Lord is saying, let your humility meet your family with grace this holiday season. Oh, it's a sacrifice sometimes. Amen? Let your humble response to the wonderful grace of God. Listen, serve your family. Yeah. Your humble response to the wonderful grace of God on your life. Let that serve your family and your neighbors as a true servant leader. Amen. Father, we want to thank You for Your word today. Thank You for Your instruction. I just want to encourage you here for just a minute or so. Would you just identify maybe a time in your life or a point in your life where you recognize God's grace met you at a low point? Would you just identify that spot? Place where His forgiveness wrapped you up. And just identify that spot right now. And just thank Him for it. You can thank Him under your breath. Just thank Him for His grace. Thank You that His grace met you at a low point. And I want to encourage you to use this response to that grace that you're recognizing as a platform, a standard by which you'll live when you meet anybody and everybody. And we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.